evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza, working from home on this pre-recorded program via remote. Here are some of the stories we're covering today, Friday, April 30th, 2021. Unknown gunmen abduct 9 young men on the Juba Terekeka Road.
When I asked the person who was in charge of those young men who were captured, they said they cannot release the people unless we managed to send them $5 million each.
And some women in Western Equatoria State say they are suffering from the side effects of contraceptives.
I tried to take these pills, family plan, but I couldn't, as the raven, it is treating me, bleeding almost like 2 months. Even they didn't give me the anti for it, but it is too much. Even I'm thinking of going to remove it.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. A member of parliament for Terekeka County says about 9 young men were abducted on Tuesday along the Juba Terekeka Road. Philip Ladu Jambeke says the abductors are asking for a ransom of 5 million South Sudanese pounds for each abductee. The Information Minister of Central Equatoria State says authorities are working on safe ways of rescuing the young men. For VOA News, David Monodanga reports from Juba.
Philip Ladu Jambeke, who represents Terekeka County's Jemeza Payam at the National Legislative Assembly, says the abductors are demanding a ransom of 5 million South Sudanese pounds for each of the 9 abductees.
When I asked the person who was in charge of those young men who were captured, they said they cannot release the people unless we manage to send them 5 million each. And when I communicated to the young men that, he said they were caught too, and on their way they found 7 others.
Jemeke says the abductors are threatening to kill the youths, all of whom are from the Mondari community, if their relatives do not pay the ransom. He says this is the first time in the area that people have been abducted for ransom, and urges travelers along the Juba Terekeka Road to be vigilant. Jemeke says, judging from their accents, the abductors are South Sudanese but are not from the local Mondari community.
The person I talked to was speaking fluent Arabic, and also the accent of pronunciation was not really the way our people always speak. So that is why I could not really say maybe these are the Kaduru keepers. And again, also Kaduru cannot do that, because those who are taken are the Mondari. And I believe that will not happen among the Mondari people. This might be people who have their own target, and they only went there maybe to collect money.
Central Equatoria Information Minister Paulino Lukudu says state authorities are worried about the health and safety of the abductees.
We have seen it is like a new strategy of some of the outlaws to continue extorting money from the families of the victims by abducting the innocent travelers along this road. And as the state government, we yesterday had a meeting to ensure that these people are rescued and their life is very important, so that they will continue with their daily-to-day life. And we are still under the process of ensuring that their safety is very important.
Lukudu will not elaborate on how the government plans to rescue the 9.
Once we share some of the modalities, it will be very difficult for us to execute the plans to ensure that we get them safe from the location where they are. But we are generally going to get them, and we will ensure that they are safe and they will come back to their families.
Abductions and kidnappings have been on the rise in recent weeks in the area, especially along the Juba Yei Highway. Most victims have been humanitarian workers traveling to Yei. For VOA News, I am David Monodanga in Juba.
From Juba, we move to Western Equatoria State, where some women are complaining about the side effects of using birth control pills and other contraceptives. The women say excessive bleeding during menstruation, irregular menstrual periods, weight loss or gain are among common side effects affecting women who are on contraceptives. But Dr. Lillian Henry Danima, a gynecologist at Maridi County Hospital, says, like all other drugs, contraceptives and birth control pills have their own side effects, adding that any woman who experiences side effects should see a doctor For VOA News, Siba Martin Morangi reports from Maridi in Western Equatoria State.
Maridi resident Rosalina Florence, who is 21 years old, says after she completed her secondary school studies, she visited a health facility where she was given a contraceptive implant and birth control pills. Florence says for the past 2 months she had been bleeding repeatedly, something she says worries her.
After finishing my senior four, I tried to take these pills, family plan, but I couldn't end. The raven, it is treating me, bleeding almost like 2 months. Even they didn't give me the anti for it, but it is too much. Even I'm thinking of going to remove it. I even move with scared. I just move a little bit, I go back home.
Florence says when she was given the contraceptive pills, no one told her she would bleed excessively. A 28-year-old Yambio resident, Monica Gimo, a mother of 7 children, says she was given a contraceptive implant which is supposed to last for 5 years. She says given the side effects she has experienced, she believes some birth control pills and contraceptives, especially those handed out at private health sectors, could be expired. To bring the one which is expired, it had a side effect on me and I did not see my menstrual periods for 1.5 years, and for the next 2.5 years I was seeing my periods and bleeding every day. I was eating, yet I was very weak. I was turning pale. Toby Adams, who runs a private clinic which provides reproductive health services in Yambio, says when he provides contraceptives to a client, he always makes sure the client has full knowledge about the medicine and its possible side effects.
In case you go and start experiencing these side effects later on, then it's either you come back to where you bought it from, or sometimes if the bleeding is severe or the side effect is severe, we refer you to the main hospital. That's what we do.
Lillian Henry Denima is a nurse in Maridi County Hospital. Denima says like all drugs, contraceptives can have side effects.
It's not drugs that is not having side effects, including some of the family planning. Most of the complaints sometimes which women are reporting about implants, that it's causing irregular periods. Some of them, they will miss their periods even for 1 year or maybe for 6 months, something like that. Loss of weight, some they will gain weight. With implants, it is safe in all ages. Anytime you want to discontinue it, you don't want to use it, you are free. It can't affect if they miss their period, but someday you will just feel some discomfort or not. These are just hormonal changes.
Denima says the most common types of contraceptives available in health facilities across Western Equatorial State include depot injection, which is an injection given to prevent pregnancy for a 3-month period. She says potential side effects include a loss of appetite, heavy bleeding, and missed menstrual periods. Denima says health facilities also provide microgenone contraceptives tablets that are taken every 28 days to regulate menstrual periods or control birth. She says these pills have no major side effects, although some women may lose or gain weight. A third birth control option is an implant, a small tube-like device inserted into a woman's arm for 3 to 5 years. Denima says its side effects include irregular periods, very heavy blood flow for 6 months, and missed menstrual periods. For VOA News, I'm Seba Martin Mrangi in Yambio.
A former South Sudanese refugee has released a book about his mother's struggle during the Second Sudanese Civil War that forced millions of South Sudanese to flee the country and live in refugee camps in neighboring countries. The book is entitled A Mother's Promise, A Civil War Survivor and Her Pursuit of American Dream. The book was released in August 2022. It highlights the struggle mothers faced from refugee camps to America. For VOA News, Ding Magot reports from Juba.
Children are the anchor of a mother's promise. My mother is the core of the family unit. She holds the family together through all difficulties, both in Africa and in the United States. She instilled in us values her parents instilled in her. At a young age, she taught us the values such as respect, kindness, honesty, loyalty, fairness, compassion, and a strong work ethic.
That is Bol Mayol, reading an extract from his book entitled A Mother's Promise, A Civil War Survivor and Her Pursuit of the American Dream. The book captures the remarkable journey of Adut Goi Ungwa, who during the Second Sudanese Civil War ran away from her village in a wheel and sought safety in a refugee camp in neighboring Sudan. She eventually landed in the United States. Mayol says even though his mother faced many challenges, she persevered and kept a promise to her children that they would have a safe place to grow up and they would be successful.
Basically, is in my mother's journey from the time the conflict broke out in 1983, from her home-torn village to Khartoum, and from Khartoum to Egypt, and then to America. So it's her journey, and the story is told from my perspective as someone who was old enough to see what was happening around me.
Bol Mayol is a U.S. citizen who was born in Khartoum, Sudan, just before the Second Sudanese Civil War. He grew up in the East Coast U.S. city of Charlotte, North Carolina, and is the founder and CEO of Bol's Book LLC. Mayol says he was motivated to work hard in school and receive scholarships after recognizing that his mother never had the chance to go to school.
This is still a problem in South Sudan and other parts of Africa, where girls are forced to stay home and boys are the ones that go to school. So my mom, the fact that my mom did not go to school is really something that hit me. It hit me to my core. So I focus on my education. I took it seriously, and I was able to win the scholarships.
Mayol says he wrote the book to pay homage to his mother. He says it tells the story of her struggles and survival, but it is also the story of many other women in South Sudan who fled to Kenya, Uganda, and other countries. 26-year-old Amuna Stella Maris, who lives in Kampala, Uganda, says, after reading the book, what stood out for her is chapter 4.
The hostile refuge, where life became hard for them in Egypt, to the extent of them staying in church with other homeless people. But the mother managed to put them in school, even to the extent of borrowing some money to make sure they were registered in school. I mean, she had the choice to make her kids go out, work, and maybe get some money, but no. She decided to put them all in school because she knows the value of education.
Bol Mayol says he hopes his book serves as an example to other young men and provides encouragement to women, especially widows and single mothers, to be the best versions of themselves to their children. The book casts a positive light on refugees and immigrants and their contributions to America. Bol has held numerous leadership positions that include deputy company commander in the U.S. Army. In 2015, he served as a NATO peacekeeper in Kosovo and worked with disadvantaged families, school children, teachers, and community to build partnerships and friendship between the locals and NATO. For VOA News, I am Ding Magot in Juba.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. Coming up, what are the dangers of opening up schools during COVID-19? Find out more after this break.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
when you make a mistake, do you admit it or just move on and try not to do it again?
When I realize that I've done something wrong, but of course I have to make sure that I make a correction out of what I have done. Because sometimes there are things we do them and afterwards you learn from them as such.
It depends on the mistake, but most of the time I tend to realize my mistakes, and where it is necessary, I apologize. Why should I keep on moving when I've made a mistake? I've made a mistake, I have to apologize.
When I've done something wrong, I do admit. At the same time, I choose to move forward with my life.
Well, it is hard to admit mistakes, so yeah, usually the first option is to move on and try not to do it again. I think that's my first go-to option.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. Botswana has the world's second highest number of per capita annual rapes. This year, lawmakers set up a committee to address the problem and to plan to establish a sex offenders registry. But campaigners say they aren't going far enough. Mkondisi Dube reports from Gaborone.
Singer and activist Refilo Muki took self-defense lessons after she was raped in 2017. Last year, her emotional wound was reopened when her little sister was also attacked.
Just after my little sister was raped, and it took me back there, you know. I felt like it's a curse or something, but at the same time, I'm like, let me do something positive out of this.
Muki leads a Say No to Rape campaign in Botswana, where reported rape cases have soared in the last few years. Authorities note pandemic restrictions have increased gender-based violence, and this year announced a committee and a sex offenders registry to address the problem. But activists like Desmond Mulunga say they need more than policies, they need action.
We've had inquiries in the past. There have been findings, but then there's never been implementation of those findings. And you know, Botswana has signed and ratified some of the legal instruments, but they are not implementing. So that is the challenge that we're having as a country.
Botswana's rape survivors say police don't take their ordeal seriously and cases often don't make it to court. To address those problems, authorities say they are piloting gender-based violence units at police stations and special courts to fast-track their cases. That raises hope that the voices of survivors like Muki can finally be heard. Mkondisi Dube for VOA News, Gaborone, Botswana.
Boarding schools in Zimbabwe face a COVID explosion now that students and teachers are back in the classroom, even though most have not been vaccinated and the implementation of other preventive measures remains spotty. For VOA News, Adi Gondo gives us more on the story.
According to the Health Ministry's situational report, two schools in Matabele and South reported 106 cases of COVID-19, reigniting fears that schools were not ready to resume classes. Umzingwane High School and Sacred Heart Girls High School in Eskodini reported a combined 106 cases. Despite the ministry's assurances that the situation is under control, teachers' unions and others say that's not the case. Schools reopened on March 15th with students attending on alternate days as the government eased some COVID-19 restrictions. Mass temperature checks and washing of hands in all public areas remain in place. A national vaccination program is being rolled out. But teachers' unions have long raised questions on whether proper precautions were in place. Yesterday, a statement by the Progressive Teachers' Union, PTUZ, blamed the Ministry of Primary and Secondary School for the new cases, saying COVID-19 abatement equipment in schools is in dire need. The union's president, Takaba Firajo, weighs in.
The $750 million that the government allocated to schools to buy COVID equipment seem not to have filtered to the school. It seemed to have gone into private pockets. The classes in schools are still bloated, with some teachers teaching a class of about 103 students, 90 students, and this has ensured that there is no social distance. The Minister of Education has also not recruited more teachers in order to ensure a proper teacher ratio of 1:20 as encouraged by WHO. There is no running water in schools.
Before schools reopened, ministry officials claimed they had found a high level of preparedness, a point teachers' unions reject, saying, for example, teachers, ancillary staff and pupils were not tested. Obed Masaraure of the Amalgamated Rural Teachers' Unions of Zimbabwe, R2s, also said schools reopened too soon.
We warned the government of Zimbabwe against the reckless opening of schools, but they didn't take heed of our call. We are pushing for mandatory testing of all those who are going to participate in the physical school ecosystem. Unfortunately, our government chose to blindly accept both learners and teachers. It is a fact that our schools are now the super spreaders of COVID-19. It is a fact that if there is a third wave, it is being brewed in our schools.
Observers say urgent action is needed, saying it will be more costly to manage COVID-19 than to prevent the spread. Meanwhile, Masara Ore confirmed that demand for vaccines is sluggish.
Very few teachers have been vaccinated. There's limited access to information on the vaccination program, and there's still a lot of skepticism on the vaccines themselves. So there was need for a lot of education so that at least we have more uptake of the vaccine by the teachers.
Observers say fractious relations between the government and its workers is in part to blame for the situation. They say dialogue would help mitigate the trust deficit. Reporting for VOA, this is Adigondo in Bulawayo, Zimbabwe.
We love to hear what you think about this program. Nabil Biagio is ready with this week's listener comments. Over to you, Nabil.
We heard from many of you about our news coverage this week, including the attack on the bishop-elect in Rumbeke of Lake State. James Dor Chienkwe, a Yale in Juba, writes, "I'm really astonished with what has done to bishop-elect Christian Kalazare for shooting him in both legs in Lake State without any clear reason. I condemn the act because it's barbaric and a terrorist act which can't be condoned at all. I wish you a quick recovery, your lordship." Mabor Alat Ringo from Rumbeke says, "I follow your program to know the daily updates around South Sudan and beyond. As a faithful Christian of the Diocese of Rumbeke, I condemn in the strongest terms possible the attempted assassination of Bishop-elect Father Christian Kalazare by assailants. This has brought a bad image to our state and South Sudan at large. We appeal to the state government to work to bring the culprits to book. And to our beloved bishop, we are praying to God so that you recover quickly and your shed blood will bring everlasting peace to our state. A good shepherd always suffers to make sure that his flock is safe. We hope to see you back after a full recovery." Martin Manuel Wugol in Uganda writes, "As citizens from Rumbeke, I was deeply shocked and never believed what happened to the man of God until news became reality and public to all people. Really, what signal are we sending to the entire world given such a barbaric act committed against a bishop who offered himself to teach the word of God? I strongly urge the state government to make sure there are no sacred cows who are immune from prosecution, especially those involved in the character assassination of his lordship." Mate Martin Lawrence from Mau writes, "The authorities in the country need to carry out a deep investigation into the assassination attempt to kill the bishop-elect for the Catholic Diocese of Rumbeke. The top administration of the diocese should be investigated and should leave no stone unturned. The government should take strong measures to bring the perpetrators to book and face justice." James Roy Majok in Bentiu Town writes, "I am shocked when I hear the Archbishop of Rumbeke Diocese was attacked at his residential compound by unknown gunmen. That makes everyone feel sad about such a move. I am appealing to Rumbeke authorities, let those criminals be brought to book accordingly." A person who calls himself Uncle Jay from Numuli Town says, "The shooting of the bishop-elect Father Christian Kalazare in both legs at his residence by assailants on Sunday night was a shameful act of intimidation, for it is written in Genesis 9:6, "Whoever sheds the blood of man, by man shall his blood be shed, for God made man in his own image. Therefore, we South Sudanese should abolish taking the lives of innocent souls cheaply like buying bread from the market." Hakim Chiponyuch, a civil society activist in Rumbeke, Lake States, who chairs several activist groups there, writes, "We are expressing the interest to hear VOA South Sudan in Focus with news in Rumbeke. How would you advise to get connected with you?" Peter Goj Anyang Majongdul from Block 3, Bor says, "Many thanks to the VOA team for bringing the show on the air again. We lost the channel in Bor and now we are reconnected via Minkaman FM." A person who identifies himself only as Martin from Ye writes, "I am sorry with the speech of the Minister of Information that the government cannot remove some of the budget in the army to feed hungry people. This means the army is protecting the president and others in the government. Who protects the civilians? Tito Deng from the suburb of Lemongaba, Juba says, "My heartfelt congratulations and appreciation to the recently awarded journalists Waki Simon Wudu and David Monodanga. I congratulate and urge you all to continue to excel on the job. For the nominees who did not win, I wish you the best of luck." Mal Adao Mal in Bortown writes, "As malicious and hideous ambushes spontaneously continue along the Juba-Gadiang eastern route, the travelers on this particular road are forcefully stranded on either side, leaving their businesses in a dire situation, and neither the state nor national government is doing anything to stop the attacks. I think President Kiir's statement during the failed Inter-Jongle peace conference won't be avoided. This is too much and we cannot hold it anymore." Samuel Remo in Yei says, "The wearing of the US dollar against the South Sudanese pound doesn't make any sense. When there is peace in the country, the South Sudan government is able to make factories, industries, investors are able to invest, and local farmers are able to produce bulk food to sell in the market. This is the law of demand and supply." Lazarus Arob Mawien Malek, a student at the University of Juba, writes, "Despite the fact that the South Sudanese pound is appreciating against the US dollar these days, I think the loan from the International Monetary Fund will never be a permanent remedy to South Sudan's economic crisis because the body will never provide the loan monthly or annually. South Sudanese must also use physical measures by producing commodities domestically in order to equalize supply and demand, instead of flooding the young nation with foreign debts, which will be a burden on generations to come." Chuni Yok Kwai from Juba says, "To me, what is happening in Rumbek Town, Lake State and Jongulay State will fail the government of South Sudan because civilians are killing themselves and the parties implementing the peace agreement fail to graduate the forces in the training centers." Someone identified as Kamba in Juba writes, "The activities taking place in South Sudan, especially Lake States, are indeed criminal acts. But the government on the grounds continue to call these people unknown gunmen instead of criminalizing them. Very unfortunate indeed." Jola Moore Red from Bor Jongulay State says, "It was very disheartening to see the mass cremation of those who succumbed to the coronavirus in New Delhi, India last Monday. May their precious souls rest in eternal peace. My heartfelt condolences to the families of the deceased. And to the world at large, let us observe COVID-19 preventive measures to avoid more exposure to the virus." The views expressed here are not the views of the Voice of America or the views of this program. We appreciate all of your comments. Keep them coming.
Let us know what you think about this program. Our WhatsApp number is +1 202 630 8011. We'll air your comments every Friday. We now leave you with Oliver Mutukuzu and the song Todi. I'm John Tanza. Thanks for being part of our evening. Remember to always wash your hands with soap, practice social distancing, and wear a mask when you're in public places to protect you and others from getting COVID-19. Do not escape from COVID-19 quarantine centers because there's no cure for coronavirus. Join us again next week for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.
study.